I don't know how many of you have seen the film called Noah. Maybe some of you have seen it. How many of you have gone to theaters and or perhaps seen it in some other setting? Am I the only one? Oh, a few hands I see. You know, this was one of those movies that Hollywood tries to get churches connected to. And as a pastor, I had a bunch of emails coming to my desk saying, do you know, this is going to be one of those movies that your church should watch and invite the neighborhood to. We have Bible studies that you can use to try and connect with people so that they can come to know the story of the Bible, especially this story. Now, I did see it a number of weeks ago, and I thought Russell Crowe is a bit more aggressive than the Noah of the Bible, and the stone giants that are depicted in the movie are a little bit of artistic license, to say the least, as are many other parts. But there is a sense in which this particular movie does pick up on some key themes that we find in the biblical account of Noah and the Ark. And one of the themes that it picks up towards the end of the film is the story of how Noah released first a raven and then a dove to see if any of the dry ground had been exposed after the worldwide flood that captivated and destroyed all of creation. Let me read for you a portion of this story from Genesis chapter 8. After 40 days after the floods, Noah opened the window he had made in the ark and sent out a raven, and it kept flying back and forth until the water had dried up from the earth. Then he sent out a dove to see if the water had receded from the surface of the ground, but the dove could find no place to set its feet because there was water over all the surface of the earth. So it returned to Noah in the ark. He reached out his hand and took the dove and brought it back to himself in the ark. He waited 7 more days and again sent out the dove from the ark. When the dove returned to him in the evening, there in its beak was a freshly plucked olive leaf. Noah knew that the water had receded from the earth. He waited 7 more days and sent the dove out again, but this time it did not return to him. Now, many of us, I think, know the story of Noah and the ark. God, of course, had created the world and created it good. But we read in the opening chapters of the Bible that on account of pride and sin that had risen in the human heart, God had announced a curse over creation. Humanity rebelled against the goodness of God, and we see that in the story of Adam and Eve, and because of that rebellion, evil seemed to spread around the world like a disease. And God was not pleased with the way in which evil had taken over the earth, and so he pronounced judgment on the world. God, as it were, wanted to create a new beginning, wiping out from the face of the earth evil and corruption and wickedness, and allowing for a new beginning for human history. And so we read in the scriptures that God released the rains from heaven and the waters from under the earth and flooded the earth in a powerful act of judgment against sin. Indeed, we read in the scripture that all of life was destroyed except the life of Noah and his family and all the animals of the world in an ark that God had instructed Noah to build. And as the scripture story unfolds, we find that towards the end of the flood, Noah releases a dove. A dove that at one point comes back with an olive branch in its beak. A dove with an olive branch, which has become for Christians, and indeed many in our world, a symbol of new beginning and of peace. As the dove is released and comes with the olive branch, Noah and his family know that God has opened up new beginning for humanity. And indeed, we find in the following chapter of the Bible that God establishes a special relationship with Noah and with all of Noah's descendants and says, "Never again will I judge the earth with a worldwide flood and destroy the world. In fact, I will establish a relationship, a covenant with you and your descendants, a covenant of mercy." And God gives a sign, and we see this in the film too. God gives a sign to Noah and his family of a bow hanging in the sky. The word in the original language is a word that describes a warrior's bow, a bow that an archer would use, a weapon of war. And as it were, God hangs his bow of judgment in the sky. And he says to Noah and to all of his descendants, judgment will not have the last word. Through the dove and the olive branch, mercy has the final word. New beginning, new hope that only God can open up for his people. God hangs his bow of judgment in the sky. And that bow of judgment is a bow of beauty. To look at it stirs a sense of awe in just about every human heart when we see it. The bow of judgment has become a bow of beauty. And the dove of peace opens up new beginning. Every single human being aches for peace. Maybe we have very twisted views of what peace might look like. I suspect that drug lords in countries that like Honduras or Colombia, even drug lords look for some kind of peace in their own life or that of their families, though most would say it's a very twisted form of peace. But we all look for some sense of peace. If you watched the D-Day services that unfolded this past Friday on the beaches of Normandy, you with me caught some sense of how humankind aches for peace. The way in which we memorialized that decisive moment in World War II, a moment that ushered in a victory and an end to that war, on the memorial service this past week, we said to one another, we must never forget so that such a war will never happen again. Human beings ache for peace. And we don't just ache for it in terms of wars like the Second World War or other significant conflicts coming to an end, but we ache for it in our own lives, don't we? We ache for peace in our families. When there is conflict and struggle between a husband and a wife, or between parents and their children, or between neighbors that live next to each other, none of us wants extended conflict. We ache for peace. We ache for a sense of well-being in our lives, a sense of contentment and of happiness. We ache for peace. We ache for a word that says, conflict is not the last word, but mercy, forgiveness. For the Christians, it is not insignificant that at the very beginning of Jesus' ministry, as he was baptized and came out of the waters of the Jordan River, as the Bible teaches us in Matthew chapter 3, verse 16, it is not insignificant that a dove descended from heaven on Jesus as he was baptized. And the Bible records that some who were present heard a voice from heaven saying, "This is my son whom I love. This is my son with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." It's not insignificant for Christians that a dove descended on Jesus, because the dove, being the symbol of new beginning and of peace, was the symbol of God's own presence, the Spirit of God alighting on Jesus, filling him with power, with wisdom, with understanding. Indeed, Jesus, as God's Son, was filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's why at the very beginning of his ministry, he announced a kingdom of peace. The prisoners will be released. The blind will be given sight. Jesus announced a kingdom of peace. And we read in the Bible, because of him, the world is able to experience true peace, for he is the Prince of Peace. It's not insignificant that this bow of judgment not only hangs in the sky, but it points heavenward. The judgment of God depicted with this bow is not pointed to the ground. It's not pointed to guilty humanity who are the source of evil and unrest and conflict in our world. It is a bow that is pointed up, because in the scriptures, God himself took the punishment for sin on his one and only Son, Jesus Christ. The judgment of God against sin was borne by God. Jesus, as he hung on the cross, was pierced with a sword of wicked soldiers. Jesus, as it were, took the arrow of judgment for us. Jesus pronounced forgiveness. Jesus said in another gospel, John chapter 20, when he was with his disciples, Jesus pronounced peace on them. And as he pronounced peace, he promised the gift of his Holy Spirit, a spirit that would be poured out on all who trusted Jesus for forgiveness, on all who confess Jesus as their King. Jesus is not simply some significant religious figure, one among many in history. Jesus, the Bible says, is none other than God himself. And he has taken the arrow of judgment, a judgment that was directed towards a sinful humanity, and paid the price for sin, so that we might be forgiven, so that we might experience the peace of God, which the Bible says passes all understanding. We all ache for peace. Perhaps this morning, even as you're sitting here listening to these words, you're thinking of experiences, circumstances in your own life. Perhaps it's an ongoing battle with a deadly disease. Perhaps it's a relationship that you know is filled with tension and conflict. Perhaps it's a situation in your workplace that puts a cloud of unemployment and uncertainty over your life. Jesus doesn't simply come and promise, I'll fix your marriages, I'll ensure you always make good money, and I'll make sure that whatever illness you face is cured. Though Jesus can and does do those things, Jesus goes much deeper in our life. Jesus goes into the very center of our heart, the place where, if we're honest with ourselves, we know our own sin cuts. Jesus goes to our heart and offers forgiveness, true peace. Some time ago, I read a story, and I'll conclude with this. It's a story of a man who lived during the time of tension in Northern Ireland, the tension that was often a tension expressed between those who called themselves Protestants and those who called themselves Catholics. And at one point, this young man, Robert Derry was his name, as a young man experienced rubber bullets being shot from his enemies, and that bullet hit him square in the face and caused instant blindness. He lived with that his entire life. But shortly after he was afflicted with that, he remembers and he shares the story of how his Christian mother prayed and prayed and prayed that God would restore his sight. At one point in his life, he felt the Spirit of God convicting him to forgive the British soldier that had fired that bullet. And so, in time, he was able to meet with his enemy, the one who caused his blindness. And he extended the gift of forgiveness, which is a gift of peace. And he said on that day, though my mother was praying that I would receive physical sight, on that day I experienced a deep sense of spiritual sight, because I realized that the forgiveness I was extending to this man was actually not simply a gift for him, but it was a gift for me. As I extended forgiveness to this man, I saw how God had forgiven me, and my eyes of faith were opened in new ways, far more important than physical sight, he writes. We all ache for peace, and the kind of peace that God gives is a peace that gives forgiveness, a peace that sets us free from the bondage of sin. And through the power of the Holy Spirit that God pours out on all who trust Jesus, a peace that can be extended within families, within communities, within our world. Through the power of Jesus' Spirit in us, the Bible teaches, we are agents of peace. I suspect we all long for peace. And on this day, on Pentecost Sunday, we remember how God's bow of judgment hangs in the sky, and it's a bow that has become beautiful because of the forgiveness that God Himself has given to us. Let's join together in prayer. Dear Father in heaven, we do acknowledge that we all in some way ache for peace. Not just a kind of peace that gives comfort in our life, but a kind of peace that goes deep into our hearts and makes us aware that we have been forgiven by God and are deeply loved by Him. A kind of peace that frees us from guilt and from shame. A kind of peace that enables us to not only receive forgiveness, but extend forgiveness to others. We pray, Lord Jesus, that your Holy Spirit would be poured out on us afresh, so that we might know the peace of God that only Jesus can give. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the love that you've shown us in Christ, a love that tells us mercy, not judgment, will have the final word. Lord Jesus, we open our hearts to you and thank you for your presence. We pray all of these things in your strong and powerful name. Amen.